pray, grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that the words which we have heard this day with our outward ears may through thy grace be so grafted inwardly in our hearts that they may bring forth in us the fruit of good living to the honor and praise of thy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I wonder if you've heard this somewhat popular phrase by now. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. Which means you must focus on your primary goal and avoid distractions. The phrase, the main thing is to keep the main thing, is most famously popularized and attributed to Stephen Covey, author of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. In our New Testament reading, I believe our Lord is applying this principle as the Jewish religious leaders question our Lord about his Sabbath day observance, or as they view it, his lack of Sabbath day observance. So my first point is the first objection to Jesus' Sabbath day observance is found in Matthew 12, 1 and 2. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." The Pharisees, a group of religious leaders within Israel who were known as strict observants of the law of God, criticized Jesus for allowing his disciples to pick grain on the Sabbath. They saw this as a violation of the Sabbath commandment to rest and to do no work on the Sabbath day, the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments, as recorded in Exodus chapter 20 and in Deuteronomy 5. I'm going to speak in the rest of this sermon about how picayune and off base that was, but let me begin by saying it is a legitimate concern to ask the question, what is rest that is commanded and what is work that is prohibited in the fourth commandment? I can't say I've never questioned some of my minor activities I've done on the Christian Sabbath. Is it okay to mow the grass? How about wash the car, especially if the grass should have been mowed 3 days ago, but it's been raining? Well, it's an important question to ask, and many, both Jewish and Christians, have asked these serious questions over the centuries, and obviously have come to different conclusions on the meaning and application of this Sabbath commandment. For observant Jews, Sabbath day observance is key among their loyalty as a Jewish believer. Keeping a kosher diet as well, and synagogue attendance rank highest in marking one's devotion to the Jewish faith. And so the Pharisees objected to Jesus' activities and that of his disciples because they believe he is violating the Sabbath. Christ does not dodge the issue of Sabbath day observance, but keeps the Sabbath day in right perspective. He's keeping the main thing the main thing. And I must say, sometimes we use that phrase, keeping the main thing the main thing, and that's not always easy to see how we're either keeping it or getting distracted from it. As Christians, we believe Jesus as Lord and Messiah. But this also means giving him due honor as God, including all that he taught, including what he taught about the Sabbath. In his reply to the accusation of the Pharisees, Jesus uses two examples from the Old Testament, reasoning from the lesser to the greater. In one instance, in 1 Samuel 21, David and his men were famished with hunger. and went into the tabernacle, and with the consent of the priest, ate the bread of presence, which only the priests were to eat. David's men were very famished from hunger, and our Lord's use of this narrative illustrates the point that God had mercy on the men and provided for their needs with this bread, even though ordinarily, it was only for the priest to eat. This was an exception to the rule. Because of David's and his men's needs, and in the same way, there is nothing wrong with the Lord's disciples who were also very hungry, making an effort to provide for their needs on the Sabbath. While God required farmers to leave their grain at the edge of the field to be gleaned by those in need, the disciples were not violating the Sabbath by plucking heads of grain to satisfy their hunger. They were not harvesting. They were eating only what they needed and had nourishment for. The Pharisees' objection is really, though, based on an oral tradition that both obscures and contradicts God's intention and purpose of his law. Our Lord uses a second illustration from the Old Testament, and that is of the Old Testament priest who worked every Sabbath day in making sacrifices and instructing out of the Old Testament scriptures. The demands of temple worship required the priest to work, but this was not a violation of the Sabbath, for God commanded these priests to work, and their work is considered innocent and guiltless. In Matthew chapter 12, 6 through 8, it says this, "But I say to you, something greater than the temple is here, and if you had known what this means, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Jesus says about himself that he is greater than the temple. In fact, further, that he is as the Son of Man, is Lord of the Sabbath. As Jesus makes that claim about himself, he is claiming to be God Almighty, to be Jehovah God. God is the Lord who instituted the Sabbath, and who but God trumps and perfectly knows the intent and purpose of the Sabbath, greater than any oral tradition, no matter what some other rabbi would have said. His word is final. This is what's right to do and proper to do. They have done nothing wrong. The question is, if Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, and we believe that he is, then do we, the people listening to Christ, both past and present, have the humility to listen to Christ and to follow his lead in observing the Sabbath? The Son of Man has received dominion over creation and is saving his plan of saving his people. So also the Lord God has dominion over the Sabbath, the sign of God's sovereignty both over creation and redemption. The claims that Jesus makes here as well shows his disregard of the practice of the rabbis, which sends shockwaves through them and really strengthens their resolve to put Jesus to death. Jesus' quote from the Old Testament scriptures, "I desire compassion and not a sacrifice," is taken from Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. Our Lord is making the point that these religious leaders have missed the point. They should have paid more attention to the broader reason of why God commanded rest, that we should rarely set aside time to worship God and his people and rest from our usual labors. All of us need rest. And so it's built into the very fabric and cycle of God's weekly order of things that we take one day to rest. Kind of an interesting question from that. Does that mean we're commanded to work 6 days a week? I'll leave that for Narthex talk. We're allowed and encouraged by the teaching of God's word to be engaged in works of necessity works of mercy and works of charity on the Sabbath. So I can remember from my childhood, there was a favorite time to visit my grandparents. It was on a Sunday afternoon. It was a custom in our churches to invite people over to the house for Sunday lunch. Works of necessity, works of mercy, and works of charity are allowed and encouraged on the Sabbath. God in His mercy has built into our weekly cycle this time for both physical and spiritual refreshment. In this case, the disciples were providing for their physical needs, a work of necessity. And this was no more a violation of the Sabbath than cooking or starting a fire to cook your food on the Sabbath. And actually, some of the practices of the rabbis during this time period also prohibited these activities on the Sabbath. I almost want to say, well, what do you expect to do? Not eat? Call it a day of fast? Because it's going to take work to get food on the plate. And quite frankly, the mothers, aunts, and grandmothers that provide that huge Sunday meal, that's a lot of work. And there's other examples from modern day history. There's the Orthodox Jewish Sabbath observances, which continue, which again are rather strict, and sometimes they're kind of silly. I've visited a hospital or a retirement home, a Jewish hospital and retirement home, on a Saturday. And there's something called a Shabbat elevator, which means if you get on and it's the first floor and you want to get to the fourth floor, you're not going to press any buttons because that elevator is going to stop at each floor whether you designated that or not, because it's Shabbat elevator. And it prevents you from pressing buttons, which is considered work. It also prohibited the Jewish people from operating electrical circuits and other appliances. So there's same thing, rule applies. You can have a preset oven, so you don't press buttons on the Sabbath. It just comes on automatically. Guys, it still takes some work to get it from the oven to the kitchen table. This strict observance misses the point and in the end makes the Sabbath day observance a burdensome and onerous duty instead of enhancing life, which was its intent. It becomes suffocating and focuses on stringent rule keeping rather than the Sabbath being a gift from God. Brings me to my second point, which is the second objection to Jesus' observance on the Sabbath. In Matthew 12, 9 through 14, the text speaks of Jesus entering a synagogue. And while he was in the synagogue, again on the Sabbath, he encounters a man with a withered hand. Before Jesus says anything to the man or heals him, the religious leaders pose the question to Jesus, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? They probably thought he was going to heal the man, so they want to preempt his healing and ask the question, is this the right thing to do? And as you can already tell, as a modern reader of this incident, I'm kind of annoyed at this objection as well. It's as if the Pharisees, if they lived today, would have objected to hospital workers working on the Sabbath. Do you really expect the unhealthy to fend for themselves for that one day a week? Jesus gives an illustration how people cared for an animal on the Sabbath if it was injured. If one of their sheep was injured, they would certainly come to rescue it and nurse it back to health, even though that includes work. Nothing in the Old Testament prohibits doing good on the Sabbath. And Jesus acknowledges that we should care for all animals, for they are part of God's creation, but certainly even more so for people who are the crowning point of God's creation, because we're made in the image of God, and we are not of lesser value than animals. Jesus is not teaching that observing the Sabbath is unimportant, or that in his coming he has abolished the law of God and set it aside, but he has come to fulfill it. Again, the problem with the Pharisees is not that they observed the Sabbath day, but they misinterpreted it and turned it in what should have been a delight into a burden. Our Lord reminds the religious leaders what should have been an obvious, self-evident truth, that it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath, to provide for one's needs, to heal a man. Then the Lord Jesus told the man to stretch out his hand, and he healed him, and his healing happened instantaneously. The Pharisees immediately hardened their hearts. They didn't perk up and witness this miracle that was in front of their eyes. Instead, they hardened their heart and strengthened their resolve to put Jesus to death. In this last section of the passage, our Lord orders the people who witnessed this and other miracles not to speak of what they saw. As I pointed out earlier, anytime Jesus did this, it was a temporary restriction. Our Lord then quotes a portion of Isaiah 42, which reveals that Messiah will come to proclaim and establish justice. He will establish justice not by an arbitrary show of power, nor by military might. The Messiah is gentle and lowly in heart, who will enter Jerusalem on a donkey in humility and defeat sin, Satan, and death by his death and resurrection. Notice in this quote from Isaiah 42 that the servant of the Lord, Messiah, proclaims justice to the Gentiles and brings about justice, as it is firmly established through him, and as a result, the Gentiles put their trust in him. The Messiah's mission to the Gentiles begun in Christ's ministry and then finds its comprehensive fulfillment on the day of Pentecost and thereafter, which was foreseen by Isaiah as the Holy Spirit revealed this truth in his writings. In closing, let us keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus and follow our lead from him to keep the main thing the main thing. This Lord, who is Lord of heaven and earth, who is Lord of the Sabbath, our one and only Savior, and our perfect teacher. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of the Sabbath, you gave your servant David the bread of presence on the Sabbath to teach him that you desire mercy and not sacrifice. Be merciful to us by healing us from all our sins and spiritual diseases, that we may be merciful to others as you have been merciful to us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen.